Okay, so modern science tells us that the universe that we live in is vast. If you think about traveling at the speed of light, then it's estimated that it would, traveling that fast, take you longer than take millions of years to cross all the way across the universe. It's worse than trying to drive across Texas. And so if we think about that and we think about a God who made all that, who runs all that, who knows about all that, he must be a God that is an amazing God. And if we think about who we are in comparison to that, we're like a speck in the universe, an insignificant, tiny, tiny speck. And so we can ask ourselves, how can I, just a mere speck, how can I have a relationship with this one who made all that, who rules over all that, who has that kind of power and wisdom and greatness? What kind of relationship can we have with such a being? Well, the Bible tells us that indeed we can have a relationship with this being, and it describes this relationship. And one of my favorite descriptions of this relationship appears in a letter that we call 1 John chapter 3. And this says, "See how great the love that the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are." God not only knows us, he not only likes us, he loves us, and the love that he gives to us is a lavish love, one that he lavishes upon us. So we learn that we are children, and God is our Father. And the relationship between us is one of love, lavish love. Jesus, when he was here on earth, opened this door to this understanding of our relationship with God as the relationship with a father. When the disciples asked him how to pray, he said, "Pray like this." And he began that prayer with these words, which would have shocked the Jewish audience, "Our Father." That address, the Jews prayed to God, but they did not refer to him as our Father. He was indeed Jesus' Father, but Jesus shared that relationship of God being our Father with his followers, with his disciples, and he shares it with us. God is our Father. And of course, God being our Father brings us all together this morning into relationship with one another as his family. There's another aspect of our relationship with God, or another picture of it, that appears in Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy we read, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength." Here we learn that there is one God, but there's also a one God who is our God. And so there's some kind of relationship going on here because he's our God. And indeed, if you look through Scripture, you find repeated over and over again this phrase, "I will be your God and you will be my people." It's a covenant. It's a covenant relationship. Jesus is binding himself to his people, and we are being bound in turn to him. And so God declares to us, I will be your God and you will be my people. And we respond, you will be our God and we will be your people. There are other relationships, descriptions of the relationship with God that we find in Scripture. Shepherd and sheep, creature and creator, master and servant. But today I want to focus on these two relationships. The fact that God is our Father and we are His children. And God is our God and we are His people. So we need to realize that we are indeed in relationship with God, that He has made it possible. And we need to realize what that relationship consists of. We know that relationships exist that can be good relationships or bad relationships. In the relationship of husband and wife, some of those relationships are good, some of them aren't. In the relationship between parents and children, some of those relationships are good and some of them aren't. So we want our relationship, we have this relationship with God, but we want that relationship to be a good relationship. And so today I want to reflect on how our reading, our study, our hearing of the Bible can help that relationship that God has given us with Him to be a good relationship, not a bad relationship. So in today's lesson, what I would like to for us to talk about and to think about is, how does our study of Scripture, how does our reflection on Scripture help us to have a true and good relationship with God? In every good relationship, there has to be communication. And so that communication involves two parts. It involves a speaking and a hearing. And in our relationship with God, if it's going to be a good relationship, there has to be both of these aspects, speaking and hearing. So God speaks to us through Scripture and we hear. And God listens to us as we pray, and that's our speaking to God and God hearing. But today I'm just going to concentrate on God speaking to us and us hearing, and how that is part of our relationship with Him and contributes to that relationship. We learn readily in Scripture that God does indeed speak to His people. We read in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets in many ways, many times, various ways. But today He speaks to us in His clearest, plainest, most ultimate message. He speaks to us through Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ. He speaks to us in Jesus, through Jesus' words, through His teaching, through His example, through His miracles, through His love for people, and ultimately through His death and His resurrection. And so, and then Paul and Peter and the other apostles, they went out and spread that message of Jesus and spoke of Him as God's ultimate revelation, God's ultimate speaking to us. And then that whole communication was, I will call it, inscripturated. It was written down and put into Scripture so that God's communication with His people could come down to us today. And so God communicates with us today. His words come to us through Scripture, through our Bible, through the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, at this point you might say, well, I more or less know all of that. What's your point? Well, here's my point. My point is that our interaction with Scripture is a vital part of our relationship with God. It is the fundamental way that he communicates with us. And that communication is a vital process of our relationship with God. Just as communication is vital in a good marriage, just as communication is vital in a good child-parent relationship. So God communicates with us through Scripture. And because of our love for him, we want that to be a good communication, so we need to listen. We want to listen. Listening and loving are connected. We can see this listening-loving relationship reflected in a number of the Psalms. Here's one of them out of Psalms 25. The psalmist says, "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths." Now here he's asking for God to reveal to him his words, his law, his covenant law that was related to the people. Why does he want that? Well, he says he wants God to guide him into this truth. "For you are my God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." So here's the relationship. The relationship is God is his God. He's trusting in God. He's trying to walk with God. But that is interrelated with God communicating to him through his words, through his ways, through his paths. So we want to talk then about listening to God's word, listening to God speaking to us through the Bible. All right, so here at this point, I want you to participate in this with your listening by just thinking about in your mind, making some guess about how many times the words listen and hear appear in the Bible. Okay, people who are here for the first service, you should be in good shape for this one. How many times do the words listen and hear appear in the Bible? Got your guess in your mind? They appear 1,500 times. A lot of times. Okay, so hearing, listening is important. Here's another question. What is the most frequent complaint that we find in the Bible? What is the most frequent complaint that we find in the Bible? Well, the most frequent complaint is that the people do not listen to God. That complaint appears more than any other in Scripture. And if you think about it in a minute, maybe you can think of some people who did not listen to God. There's some glaring examples. The first one that came to my mind was Pharaoh. Moses told Pharaoh that God was saying to him, "Let the people go." And Pharaoh again and again refused that message, and it almost destroyed him and his country. Another glaring example of failing to listen was by the name of a fellow by the name of Achan. Achan belonged to the nation of Israel when they marched into the promised land and they were fighting against the city of Jericho. And they were marching around, the walls fell down, and they captured the city. But God had told them before all that happened, "Don't take a single thing out of the city. This all belongs to me. You're not to take anything." Well, Achan, he saw some really nice stuff in the spoils of the city, and he just could not pass it up. And so he slipped it away and hid it under his tent. But he was found out, and he and his family were eventually put to death. He did not listen. Another fellow that didn't listen was the first king, Saul. God told him to go and destroy the Amalekites. But instead, he brought back some spoils with him. And because he did not listen, because he did not obey, he lost his kingship. Another spectacular example was a prophet by the name of Jonah. And God told Jonah to go preach to the people in Nineveh and tell them to repent. Jonah immediately went out and boarded a boat in the opposite direction, not listening at all. So these were people who did not listen. I mentioned them. We don't want to be like them. They're examples of what to avoid. So as I talk about listening to God through His Word, I want to divide listening into three levels or steps. The first level is listening with our ears, attentive listening. So attentive listening means that we are listening to God as He talks to us through the Scriptures, and we're paying attention to that, and we want to listen closely and let it have the proper effect on Him. And listening, remember, is connected with loving. Listening connects us with the other. Sometimes when we're talking with other people, I'm in the same boat as you here. When I'm talking to other people, a lot of times I'm thinking, what am I going to say when they stop talking? And I'm not really listening very closely to what they're saying. Or maybe sometimes I get into a really boring conversation, and so I'm only listening for the first chance I have to escape from the conversation. This is not the kind of listening that we're talking about. So when we really listen to people, then we are showing that we respect that person, that we value that person, that we're focusing on that person and what he is saying. James reminds us how important listening is. He says to us, my dear brothers and sisters, that we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. So when we listen to people, then we are building relationships with them. We're showing love, we're showing concern, we're showing respect. A similar thing happens, similar considerations apply with our relationship to God. We need to listen out of respect, out of love for Him. Jesus, when He was here on the earth, when He was teaching, He would frequently end His teachings, particularly if He was teaching parables, by saying, he who has ears, let him hear. But many of the people just didn't bother. They didn't bother to listen closely. They didn't bother to think about His teaching and what it really meant. They didn't think about going to Jesus to ask about the meaning of what He was teaching. They didn't seek in order to find out. So we need to listen attentively to God. We need to listen attentively to other people. You need to do this, and I need to do this. We need to be better at it. Listening, so the first listening skill is listening with our ears, attentive listening. The second way we need to listen is listening with what I'm calling listening with our hearts. That's transformative listening. So here, God calls us to listen, to receive His revelation to us gladly, to let it sink into us. And through this process of careful listening, of letting it sink into us, letting it become part of us, we are transformed. We're changed. Our lives are changed. And so listening to God has the power to transform our lives if we listen with our hearts. The psalmist recognized this, and he gives us a good example in the very first psalm of a person who's listening to God, who's thinking about it, who's allowing it to come into his heart, into his life. And he says, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. The man who wants to listen to what God has to say to him and who meditates on this law day and night. He is a tree planted by rivers of water, which yields its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. And so here's the person who listens, and here's the person who's transformed. God makes him into something better. God blesses his life because he's listening with his heart. He's listening for transformation. Another passage that reflects this is one that we looked at earlier, but I want to kind of view it again from a new light. So here's this passage, and this is a very famous passage in the Old Testament. It's something that modern religious Jews recite every day. It's a key passage. And it begins, "Hear, O Israel, our God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Notice how it starts out here about our lesson. Hear, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. This is one of the great basic truths of the Israelite faith. God is one. God is our God. So they were to read this. They were to think about it. They were to recite it. They were to let it come into their heart. And when they did that, what was the change? What was the response? Well, he talks about the change that takes place here. They would love the Lord their God with all their being. And so this careful listening with the heart would transform them so that they developed a deep love relation with God. Listening and loving, they're related. Finally, the last thing that I would like to talk about, the third aspect of listening, third level of listening, is listening with our hands and our feet. It may seem strange at first, but I'm talking about applied listening. So here James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So James realized the danger that existed for us, that we could just listen and take no action. And Jesus repeated the same lesson in Matthew, where he tells the story of the two builders. And there was the one builder who built his house upon the rock. And when the rains came and the winds came and the storm beat up on the house, it stood firm because it was built on the rock. And Jesus says this is like the person who listens and carries out my word. He puts it into action. He lives it out in his life. He listens with his hands and his feet. But there's also the second person who hears the words of Jesus, but he doesn't take them into his life. He doesn't put them into action. He doesn't act on them. And his house is like, he's like the man who built his house upon the sand. And again, when the storms come, that house collapses and there's a great fall. So Jesus also teaches us about the importance of this third level of listening, and putting it into action. There's a well-known passage, and this is probably one of the best-known passages in the whole Bible, about the inspiration of Scripture. And in 1 Timothy 2:16 and 17, we read, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." And then he goes on to say, "So that," and I put the "so that" here in capitals. And frequently when we talk about this verse, we're more interested in what inspiration means and is the Bible infallible and these kinds of things. And we really ignore the main point of this version, of these verses, namely that the reason that God gave us these God-breathed scriptures is what follows this "so that." So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Our knowledge of Scripture, our interaction with Scripture, our interaction with God through Scripture is to have the purpose of equipping us for every good work and for us to go out and be doing those good works. And so we can avoid the whole purpose of Scripture if we don't live lives that put hands, if we don't live lives that put hands and feet along with our listening, if we don't carry out God's word. When asked about what was the greatest commandment, Jesus replied that the greatest commandment was to love God with all your being, all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And he said the second one was likened to it, you should love your neighbor as yourself. And the real goal of Scripture is not fulfilled in our lives until we're living out loving God and loving others. Until we visibly demonstrate this love in our everyday lives and show that we're not only taking the words of God internally, but we're making them part of the way we live our lives. Okay, so how do we do this? Well, let me just make one practical suggestion. One practical suggestion for living out in our daily lives the Scripture is whenever we study Scripture, whenever we hear Scripture, whenever we're exposed to it, that we ask ourselves two questions. How can I put this into practice? And how do I need to change my life in light of these Scriptures? And this can help us to directly keep in mind this important part of listening, this important part of our loving relationship with God about putting what we read into practice. Now, our Bible study, our exposure to Bible, our reading can take many forms, especially in our modern society. We can, of course, take a Bible, we can read it, we can study it, we can reflect on the passages we've read. But of course, we can also get Bibles in electronic forms on our iPads or phones. We can write out Scriptures, and we've been encouraged to do that this year. We can listen to audio versions of Scripture. We can read good books and studies about biblical books or topics. We can listen to sermons or lectures or watch them on YouTube or on our Right Now media, which we have on our church website. We can meet in small groups to talk about the Bible with one another. There's some current popular formats that you can read about online called the Discover or Discovery Bible Studies, which are just directed in such a way that we carry out all these steps that I've been talking about this morning in terms of our encounter with Bible. But whatever form our encounter of Scripture may take, we need to take that occasion as a time when we can improve our relationship with God, when it can grow, when we can build and strengthen that relationship by listening to Him out of our love for Him. Okay. So I'm going to close my lesson today with three takeaways that in some sense kind of summarize the lesson. Three takeaways for you to take home with you that kind of outline what we've talked about today. Number one, maintain a close relationship with God by listening attentively on a regular basis as God speaks to you through His words. Number two, receive God's life-giving and life-changing words joyfully. Let them take root in your heart and life, and in this way, transform you to be more and more the person that God wants you to be. Number three, put the words into practice. Live a life that demonstrates love of God and love a neighbor. Or very briefly put, listen to God speaking to you out of His love through the Scriptures. Listen with your ears, with your heart, and with your hands and feet. Now, maybe some of you are here today and you don't have this relationship with God that we've been talking about, this relationship that's enhanced by God's giving us His Scripture as His communication to us. If that's the case, then I want you to know that we hope that events will take place in your life, that somehow, some way or another, you will come to know this God and you will come to have this relationship with you. And I, or the elders, or some of the staff that will be around here, would be happy to talk to you this morning or at any time about how you can grow into this relationship yourself and experience these wonderful blessings of this relationship with God that we've been talking about this morning.